It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And right on cue, after last week's AI show, like, came the DeepSeek announcement.
Yeah, but that's not a... Don't.
It's all right. I trialed it already.
Yeah, don't.
I had to try it.
Don't expose
it. It might have been
phone.
Faster, but it wasn't as good, I'll tell you that right now.
Anytime
and you're
something
safe
comes
it
out...
It's safe because it didn't know who you were.
Yeah, like, but...
You're safe.
Anytime something comes out as kind of like revenge, because the only reason why that got launched is because people can't download TikTok right now.
Yeah, here's what I do know. What I do know is when stuff like that comes out, never buy the first generation of anything.
Never.
Like the first Subaru, like I remember this specifically. My dad bought a Subaru and it was like the first one. And it was, I don't know why. I actually have to go back and ask him why he bought it. But I remember specifically my... brother throwing out apple cores because the floorboards had rusted underneath the car mat in the front seat, and he was disposing of his apple cores that he'd eaten like Fred Flintstone underneath the rusted out floorboard. And then Subaru now has one of the best track records, right? But like, it was like first iPhone, never buy the first generation of anything.
Nope.
Let them, they
work
always
out,
rush
work
to
out
market.
The kinks.
Yep. They always rush to market, right? Like, just, you know, just. Let it be patient, right? And let everybody run. Let everybody run to it, right?
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that are not going to be great. But let them run to it. Anyway, what is great right now is the fact that I am knee deep in kitchen exploration, bar exploration. And so this is very timely for you. Because
anytime I can get your free advice, that'd be great.
Isn't that what this radio
Pretty
show
much,
is kind
yeah.
of all about?
Yeah.
So
I've been taking notes.
So listen, so I want to start the show because I'm going to build it around a list that recently came out from House Beautiful, which is the Kitchen In list came out.
Oh, good. Okay.
According to designers, we're not going to go through everyone on the list, but I did point out a few.
Okay, good.
The reason this is obviously top of mind for us is we are actively beginning to formulate our plan to strengthen our relationship with Wolf Sub Zero Cove and that great Midwestern luxury appliance brand. And then our new kitchen and bath studio called Revival Studios, which is going to be really dedicated to what I'm going to call the heart and the hand of the home, which is, you know, we all know that kitchens and bathrooms and even bar areas, especially as it relates at the Sassano house and a lot of houses that I've designed, are areas to congregate and to create memories. And they are really the heart of the home functionally. And to a certain extent, you know, spiritually, right? Like, you know, the kitchen means a lot. Always has, kind of always will. The bathroom means a lot. Always has, always will. The bar, we're trying to elevate, you know, to an entertainment status, right? Versus a crying your beer sorrow status, right? Like the in-home residential experience of something somewhat hospitality is something people want. And we're seeing we are obviously big believers in that. I mean, if you can love where you live in as many ways as possible, isn't that really the goal?
Yeah.
And so the other part of this, other than the heart of the home, is what I'm going to call the hand of the home. And there's something in the design industry that I'm particularly fond of, and I was introduced to it early in my career, called the hand of the fabric. You know, it's almost like the weight of something. You know, when we would have reps come in and different manufacturers on the fabric side, they'd bring in the fabrics and they'd bring in much larger swatches than you could get, you know.
Right.
Not bolts of fabric, but large swatches for sample to have us look at what their new lines were and what their new offerings were. And I was always fascinated by the hand of the fabric, like the way a fabric moved in your hand, the way it felt when you touched it. I then subsequently throughout my career thought about the hand of the home as it relates to a home that you walk on. You know, why do some homes just feel sturdy? You know, and then you learn about the joist placement, and you learn about the subflooring, and then you learn about, again, the things that make up the hand of the home that sometimes you can't see or feel.
Right.
Or that you can't see but can feel. The weight of the hardware, the weight of the doors being hollow core doors or solid wood doors. the hand of the home is something that we're really dedicated to at the Design Coach, and it's absolutely going to be a focus for us at the Vault, as it is currently at TDC with all of our projects, is how does the home not just look? And not how does it feel just from a furniture perspective?
Right.
But how does it feel when you live in it? And so I think that there's a lot of functionality that I think is obviously with kitchens and bathrooms at the forefront, as it should be. You know, everyone wants to maximize their utility, and obviously cosmetics are always pushed to the forefront. But it's the substantial elements of the thickness of things, cabinetry, subflooring, you know, the way your plumbing feels, mm-hmm. you know, again, the hand of the home, the way it operates and the weight of it, and more importantly, the substantial nature of it. Is really where I want sort of today's conversation to lead us and to explore, because it's just so important as we really begin to realize that the disposable nature of design has really done us a disservice. I mean, I you know, listen, I don't mean to pick on any particular, you know, line of online resource, but like I do make Wayfair face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're making it now.
Yeah, I make. Sorry, it's not. Listen, no offense to Wayfair, but totally an offense to Wayfair.
It's just an online IKEA.
Listen, I'm not opposed to its use for certain things.
Yeah? Sure,
doing a dorm room, great, right? If I'm trying to build something substantial that lasts, you know, when you're leading with cost and you're leading with the value proposition is cheap and fast.
Sorry, Kelly Clarkson.
That's not great. That's not well. That's
she promotes Wayfair.
That's a whole merch deal, though. That's right. I mean, listen.
Although I love her,
but listen, I think the
squirrel.
But let's actually drill down. Let me actually run at that. It has been the degradation of the understanding of quality over the years that is really at stake here, right? Mm-hmm. It's the cheap, non-durable good. Whether that be a piece of furniture, whether that be an appliance, it doesn't really matter what it is. And what I've learned over 25 plus years in this business is that quality lasts and the design endures, provided that quality is baked into the process. And that's the hand of the home. That's what I'm referring to. If the quality is baked in beyond the cosmetic, and in some cases marrying wonderful cosmetic with amazing quality and craftsmanship, you're never sorry.
It's like when people say this house has good bones, mm-hmm. or they don't build them like that anymore. I mean, this house that we just bought,
great
for
example.
Instance, yeah. is right, completely unbelievably fantastic, basic bone structure mm-hmm. for being 140 years old, or mm-hmm. what? It was built in the 1880s, so I don't even know how old it is. I don't count that high. Mm-hmm. However,
well, there's also something to be said that it's still standing.
It's still standing. I am taking it down to the original wood floors that are in marvelous condition. Mm-hmm. I have pocket doors in this house that are absolutely in perfect condition.
Wow.
That are original to the home.
That's beautiful.
They don't make that stuff. They're not hollow. Mm-hmm. They're not, I mean, they're solid wood stain.
The mechanisms are made of brass instead of aluminum.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the difference. I mean, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's the quality. It's stop cheapening the quality. Mm-hmm. It's not going to last.
Yeah, this rampant consumerism for grabbing the aesthetic over the substance is really at the core.
Quantity over quality. Mm-hmm.
Quantity over, 100%. Could not have said that better. And I have to say that as it relates to, you know, the kitchen evaluation that I'm currently going through with Julie in my own home, because a lot of this show does revolve around me. And if not, Nancy. But I will say that, you know, again, what I'm loving about where we're headed at the Design Coach and I think where this team is currently really gaining a lot of traction with clients is we're going in with an authentic mindset of two things. One, we want you to love where you live. Mm-hmm. Like that. And I think that that's not unique to us. I think that a lot of designers obviously want you to love where you live. But that means things.
I hope that all of them would.
I think so. But I also believe that their process lacks the person, the personal details.
that make you love, right?
That make you love it.
Because
right?
you don't like, love, you don't love cabinets. You love the cabinets combined with the countertops, combined with the floor, combined
with the
beauty.
Well, I can make you love cabinets if the cabinets serve your lifestyle. What I find is that there's too many shortcuts that
that
our industry takes to be able to sort of rush to the cosmetic to make you love the outside. And then let's define love.
Right.
Okay. Like the quick infatuation with a style cue is not love.
Right. That's trend.
It's trend. It's lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
The hand of the home, which I'll keep coming back to throughout the course of the show, in other words, the way that it feels, is the functionality and the weight and the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and then in most cases, that costs. But we've sort of been sold this understanding that we can cheat it a little. Like, isn't that, like, we're told we can cheat almost everything, right? Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
It looks good. Right? But without the cost.
But
right?
is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it.
But wait, there's more.
Yes. But
it's
wait.
So much quality that we're going to give you another one for
yes,
free.
Yes. Yeah, so how much high quality could it be
right.
if they're willing to just beg you to take
give
another
it away.
One? Yeah. So as I begin to explore the topic of how we put kitchens together, how we put baths together, and how we put bars together, I think the want you to love where you live is key. And we're going to dig into what that really means. But then the last part of it is we want you to gravitate towards a style you can call your own. And I think that the individuality and the personality that it really exists within great design, even if it's not something that you like, right? Even if it's not something like an aesthetic that you love, but it wasn't built for you. It was built for the person who's going to love it and live in it. And that's really been the focus that I think is resonating with a lot of our clients is we don't really design at the design kitchen a particular style. In fact, we wouldn't want to. Like, it leaves too many creative opportunities unexplored.
How much fun is that? Right.
You know, and recently, I will say to Nancy, it's been crazy. You know, it was this past week, I went on 4 new calls, like mm-hmm. 4 new client interactions, potential projects. All of them different styles.
Of course.
And the one thing that resonated with them in obviously our advertising of all things was the style you can call your own. They were worried that a designer is going to come in and tell them what they should have instead of learn who you are and how to give you the best reflection of that. So as we begin this conversation about kitchens, baths, and bars, the heart and the hand of the home, we're going to do it from a perspective of individuality and quality. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I'm pretty sure my voice was squeaking through half of the last end of the segment.
Are you going
that was
puberty?
Not your radio. That was me.
My little fun-sized treat?
I don't know. It's that time of year.
That you start squeaking?
I don't know. I got one nostril closed on one side, one's open. I don't know. You know what I mean?
It is the season. That's
it is
true.
That season.
That's true.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking about the heart and the hand of the home, specifically as it relates to kitchens and bathrooms and bars. And what does that really mean? And we to sort of springboard and to sort of bridge the gap between segment 2 and segment 1, you know, we sort of left with, you know, what does individuality really mean in design? And it means sort of an intensely personal understanding and use case mm-hmm. for kitchens and bathrooms. You know, just because you're seeing that it's popular or just that you're seeing that it's the latest thing, okay, doesn't mean that it's the latest thing that you should be doing. Okay, so was vaping at one time, okay?
Just because you can.
So were cigarettes at one time,
okay? Doesn't mean you should.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. At one time, just because it's popular doesn't necessarily mean that it's good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that we'll explore on not today's show, but...
I love those shows.
I know you do, but as we... I got to give them their money's worth on design, Nancy.
That's right.
So as we bake all of these things into the conversation throughout the course of the 45 minutes we have together, I will say the individuality has been where I've lived in design for a really long time. I never wanted to design the same room or style twice.
No.
And I it was just, it was partially because it would be like as an artist, and I do believe that it comes from my artistic mindset, which is, I'm sure that there are lots of creatives out there. Listen, there are lots of builders, lots of designers who are like, this is my design style. This is the style that I design in. My homes don't look similar, but there's definitely the same general style cue with a lot of designers. It's why I'm such a fan of Ralph Lauren, because, you know, you could do country. He would do, you know, VIP New York, right?
Right.
And there would be a style transmission that would be these wild swings of artistic understanding that I believe is really, I think, the buffet of offerings that we bring to our clients, which is, it's almost like, Nancy, it's interesting. Like I mentioned before the break, these four new clients that I went to go see this week and what their projects were all about. Let me just describe for you the four different styles that I was able to evaluate, totally understand, and they called me for the same specific reason, to figure out their interpretation of that style, not my style as a designer, which tells me the messaging is working. The word is getting out there. If you want your home to be an individual and quality experience that's centered around you, you call me. Call us.
Right.
Okay? Because there are so many in my industry that are obsessed with building the same kind of style of home. Listen, we see this in the Geneva Lakes area all the time. Right?
Right.
A lot of builders have a signature look. You can almost go on the lake and you can look at the homes and you can kind of tell who built what home.
Right.
You can do the same thing on Instagram with certain designers. You can put five designers of your favorite, most popular, and you might be able to tell what they're trying to achieve, I think, stylistically, but you also might have a very hard time telling them apart because they're selling a look that's very popular.
Right.
So it cuts both ways, right? It's either they're too heavy on style and it's too obvious who did it, right? Which is part of what they sell. They're selling their signature. Versus what we're selling is our service.
Right.
And it was interesting to lead with that all week in these projects, both large and small, because some of these projects, Nancy, weren't large jobs. And they didn't need to be. You know, part of the reason that I scaled was so that we could have some bandwidth to be able to accommodate people who were more committed. Like, it wasn't about the size of the project. It was about the client's commitment to their project. And if they were really committed, but it wasn't a very big project, I wanted to see if there was a way to have a hand in that mm-hmm. with them.
Right.
And the first one that I went on was a builder here in Illinois who, you know, wants to just take a large home in sort of northern Illinois and rethink it into sort of a California contemporary home and transform it from a very traditional home. I mean, it was a complete style deviation. And I think what was resonating, and I think what will resonate with everyone as you really think about going into your next design makeover, remodel, or new build, is that you should really think about making it way more client-centered and focused around you and being comfortable expressing that. Mm-hmm. And if you can't express it, at least find a design advocate like we are at the Design Coach for being able to go in and fight for the integrity of your personality and individuality baked into the build and baked into the design.
Isn't it the difference between going to a general practitioner and seeing a specialist for a problem that you have?
I mean, yeah, provided just, that you're, but it's almost more like your generalist is your specialist. Because remember, you wouldn't go to a separate designer to handle general. Like we are a tactician that can handle both, I would say, big picture, small picture.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, we are, so there's a little bit of that is analogous. There's a little bit of what you're saying that's
probably, you know, because you're the advocate.
We are the advocate, but I find that so many times because we're so confrontationally adverse, and because we always go into these environments where we think the builder is the expert,
yeah,
and they might be the expert on building, but they're not always the expert on your design,
right?
And they're certainly not the expert on you. So at the Design Coach, what we're really dialed in on is trying to figure out how to become an expert on you, what you love, how you live, what do you value, and how do we bake that into a design that reflects the best parts of your passions. That's, to me, I could live the rest of my career just learning everyone's wacky, weird, wonderful, wicked, and just like figuring out a way. I said this to Haley this week, our director of design build. I said, I love that these clients this week, the potential clients, had like, they almost like brought us their broken pieces. Like their broken pieces, like the things that they couldn't figure out. But then they also brought us their gems. Like they brought us the things that they loved, and then they brought us their sticking points, and they just sort of like pushed it across the table to us and then said, help me. Like, help me figure out how to incorporate this gem of an idea that I have that feels like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this sticking point within my process that I've tried to do on my own. And I need you guys to help us do that. And rather than judge the pile of pieces and be like, oh, no, we can't use that piece. That's not going to work. Right. Or, oh, you silly little person.
Right.
That's an easy problem for us to solve. like we would never go in and do that. But no. The arrogance of the industry sometimes causes that. The control nature of a lot of the professionals in our business, that's got pushed to the forefront. And I'll be honest with you, Nancy, it was communicated to us. A lot of these people had interviewed designers prior to us. And it was communicated to us that some were rigid and that they didn't really take the opportunity to get to know what the client was really trying to achieve with the broken words and the scattered ideas. And all we did this week was cast a bunch of nets and try to capture how do you want to love where you live?
Right.
How do you infuse quality and how to make it your own?
And every time you go to a job like that, you guys are also taking something away that you can take to the next job. Not necessarily the idea, you know, the physical color, whatever, but it's a new experience for you and a learning experience for you as well. You're both getting something out of this relationship.
It's always a new canvas for
us,
which is how we do it by design. I mean, when we say, going back to my origin story, when I say that I look at homes like a series of interconnected canvases to be decorated or designed and aligned in some special and really unique way, that's exactly how I view my world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just view homes that way. I view the world that way. Like everything can be reinvented. Like you're never beyond a failure to try to recover the next day. Like there's a lot of that plays into sort of my spiritual makeup and my personal makeup and my professional makeup is really aligned there, I think. And what I'm looking for in these kitchens, baths, and bars projects is because they are the heart of the home, I'm trying to make sure that the hand of the home matches that and that the level of appreciation matches their level of investment. I find all too often that the level of investment professionally doesn't match, the level of emotional investment on the part of the professional doesn't match the level of emotional investment on the part of the client. And there's an inherent disconnect between what upsets them, what makes them really excited.
I was going to say what motivates
right. them. And so in these prospective jobs that we evaluated this week, what was inherently interesting was the diverse style natures of people coming to us, just telling us, we just know you'll figure it out. And that was beautiful. Like we were like, wow, that is really... Thank you. Like, thank you for your trust. Thank you for the opportunity to review the project. I mean, I had a mid-century modern house, lake house, that the couple had been working on for over 10 years. And the family did use it, but the client was just having trouble with the finishing elements. And this potential client had done a really nice job, like getting it to a point. She had got it to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked that way. It was like, wow, like, do you need us? Like,
right.
You did such a great job. And then when she started to point out the areas of the sticking points where she was just having trouble, she was just saying, I hear you guys are idea people. You're not going to come at me with one recommendation. You're going to come at me with multiple, and I'm going to get to gravitate towards what works for me. And I was like, that is exactly our service.
Right.
So when we did that and we walked out, I said, wow, mid-century modern. Like, we haven't done one of those in a while. That's a really fun one to do because it's just so different, right? And when I walked out of the one that wanted to transform the traditional home into a California contemporary house, which the house can do, by the way. It can absolutely do it. You know, by mid-meeting, they were busting out champagne. No, I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
It's like... Now, that's a good client meeting.
Right.
Okay? Now, listen, if anybody knows me, if you want to use it as a trick, if you greet me at the door with whiskey, probably not bad. probably a great start. But now that I've announced it on the radio, now I'm on to you.
Right.
And this was totally not one of those experiences that was contrived. I mean, we were generally there really listening. They kept sharing more and more of, you know, their struggles and their hopes and their wishes. And so it really became a really personal initial meeting. And we walked out with a very clear understanding of how to honor the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
How to honor the opportunity. You know, when you're doing a kitchen, bath, and bar, I can't imagine a more important level of, I can't imagine a more important mindset to have than to raise your level, right, of investment and effort in creating the most significant portions of the home. When we come back from the break, that's what we're going to dig into. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Yeah, no, we're doing it differently now, Nancy.
We're actually going to get to the things on.
No, what I'm not going to do is promise that I'm going to list all these things.
Oh, good.
If you guys want to look it up, you guys can go to House Beautiful yourself. I just wanted to use the digital fodder as a launch point.
That's far less pressure on me to make sure you get through the list.
I think it's far less pressure on everyone. Oh. And speaking of no pressure, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about individuality and loving your home and what that really means from a quality perspective, specifically with the investment that is required in things like kitchens, baths, and bars.
Can I ask you a question about, you talked about this project, about this house, and they want to turn it from what?
Traditional to California contemporary.
Okay.
Honestly, mountain modern, right?
Right.
Ish.
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
on the interior of a house, minus some super abstract thing that they want structurally, can't you pretty much make that happen? Make those changes happen with the right designer and the right, you know, redesign, the right plan for any home.
It all depends on who's driving. I mean, let's be really honest.
I'm specifically saying you.
But
if somebody gives you an old log cabin and says, I want this modern, can't you
bridge the gap?
Right.
Depends. I mean, if you're asking me if I can, I'm saying yes.
Right.
If you're asking me, can't most designers?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I think that there is absolutely a myopia, a tunnel vision, if you will, especially if a designer is known for working in a particular style. That designer is used to having clients come to him or her
because they love
their style and they want that.
Right.
And so there is the creative transaction, right? It is, well, you love me for me and I love doing this. That's not what we do with the design coach. What we do with the design coach is we're trying to decipher what we believe is the beautiful reflection of your unique personality as reflected in your design.
Puzzle pieces.
Yeah. And what does that puzzle piece look like? And you're going to help us. You're going to share pieces that fit. You're going to share pieces that don't fit. Like I talked in the last segment.
They might be
they bring us their gems and their broken pieces. And they're like, help us figure this out.
Uh-huh.
And what I love about that is it's such a wonderfully vulnerable place to start. Right. But you have to open the door to that. Like when we walk into a new project, I think it's important to understand where the client's starting from. I'm going to give you an example. We walked into a log cabin this past week, and the log cabin was an old Boy Scout camp, and that someone had transformed the Boy Scout Lodge into a home.
Cool.
And this particular client wanted to do a transformation and an update, but they weren't. I knew the reason you buy a log cabin. You buy a lodge cabin because you appreciate the history of what it was.
Of course.
You don't. If you don't, then you're going to knock it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I walked in and it was fascinating because I walk in and there's this roaring fire in the fireplace. There's this sort of tricked up little mini bar, right? That had just mm-hmm. a bunch of whiskeys around it, and it was just like I mean I looked at Haley and I'm like, I just want to sit on the couch.
Right.
I don't care if we tour the house. I feel like I just walked into a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, like a really fancy home where someone invited me to stay and I might be staying the weekend.
Like that's
how I
home.
Felt.
Right.
Like, but it was all log cabin, a lot of yellow, a lot of logs. Like, I'm not kidding you. And for some people, this is to answer your question. For some people, they can't look at that and understand how to jive other style cues. How do you modernize that? Mm-hmm. How do you update that? How do you update that yet pay homage to the tradition and the historical nature of what it is?
Right.
I do believe that that's a very difficult skill for a lot of design professionals. I do. Especially in the current professional construct that says, if I broker a look, people are just going to hire me for that look.
Right.
I know designers right now that if they tried to get a traditional project, they're like, well, I'm not chasing traditional projects. Okay, great. What happens when your trend ends?
Right.
And I knew this at the beginning. I'm like, well, I mean, listen, at one time, the thing that was in was all like heavy velvet French castles with red dining rooms. And I knew that wasn't going to last, right?
Like, well, you hoped.
Well, no, but at the time it was like, that's what everybody wanted. So I was like, well, I don't want to go with what everybody wants. I really want to get to know these clients and I want to get to know them personally. And I think that's been the magic for our survival and evolution over the past 25 years is that, you know, I don't know that every client welcomed or appreciated my level of emotional investment in getting to know them, but the right ones did.
Mm-hmm.
And the right ones, a lot of them are still with me today, 15, 20 years later. Okay.
And you know, you think about it, the repeat customers, right? What I think probably some designers think, some builders think is that, okay, well, you know, people are going to keep coming back to me for this style and you know, it's repeat business. And even if my trend goes out of style, they'll come back to me to have me remodel for the next trend. Where you are like, okay, well, I'm going to do this one how they want it, you know, according to their personality. And then when they go to do their next house or they it's still repeat business. I think that it's a different.
Yeah. It'd be like
mind
frame. It would be as if, okay, so right now, one of the things that we specialize in kitchens, baths, and bars is we do multiple homes in multiple states in multiple styles.
Right.
One of the advantages to doing that for a single client is that they can explore different parts of themselves stylistically in these homes.
Well, what's the point in having two homes if they're the exact same?
That's exactly right. So if your design professional or your builder or whoever it is that you're getting design counsel from can only do it one way, well, then you have to start a brand new relationship with a brand new person mm-hmm. to find out that new style cue. And that's just not what we've ever espoused. We've espoused, let's get to know you and let's try to figure this out together.
Mm-hmm.
But that means you unpacking some stuff. And that's when it comes to the heart and hand of the home and kitchens and baths, what you like to cook, what your cadence of cooking is, what your cadence of entertaining is, and what do you want it to be is very important. And so you're always trying to strike this balance between getting to know them well enough to really drill down on their functionality. But the style cue is something that people oftentimes, it's a little muddier.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go into your closet. It's like, do you love every piece of clothing with the same level of involvement in your closet? Like, do you have your favorite sweaters and then you have that shirt that like, I spent a lot on it. I really like it. Maybe I need to lose a little bit more weight to wear it.
Again.
But I got to keep it.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody has the things in their creative closet that don't fit, to use an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all have things in their creative closets that we love, that we want to hold on to, but we're not quite sure where it fits. And so our job at the Design Coach is really to drill down on that with the most important parts of the home at Revival Studios, which is going to be our kitchen, bath, and bar studio, and to say, what does the kitchen really mean to you? There are people who love having people gather around the kitchen island, and then there's people who are like, get out of my kitchen. Like, we got to find a place to put the food in another mm-hmm. spot so that people aren't in my face all the time while I'm trying to create and I'm trying to provide. That's reality.
Right.
I happen to be one of those bar owners. I don't like people behind my bar. I'm serving you from my end of the bar, okay? Then I've created in my bar environments auxiliary bars that are self-service so that you don't have to go behind the bar all the time to grab the quick water, the quick soda, the
right.
quick this, the quick that. But if you want the actual cocktail of wine experience, you can come to the bar. So we've created auxiliary bars, mm-hmm. right? Wolf Sub-Zero Cove has been a huge partner for us in that because of their beverage drawers that make it really easy to sort of like grab and clients, or sorry, guests can self-serve.
Right.
Clients love that.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to be doing is running up and down
right.
stairs to go get people more water.
Right.
Especially if you have a large party, it means more requests. So
yeah.
as it relates to sort of the heart and the hand of the home, as we talk about the quality experience, it has to be baked in from the beginning, but it means nothing if you haven't had the conversation about what you really want. Have you seen those memes out there from The Notebook between Amy Adams and Ryan Gosling where he's like, "What do you want?" And she's like, "I don't know." And he's like, "What do you want?" From The Notebook.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, like that's, but that's really the crux of the conversation. Like, sit down and express what you truly want. And I feel like when people feel like they're in a appreciative, grateful place with their design professional or their builder, they can be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do know the lifestyle wishes and aspirations of my clients, especially my really good ones. Like, I know how often they want to see their kids and what they want for the kids when they're the experience when they come back for the summer at the lake. And I understand what that needs to look like for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've set the house up accordingly. And then we keep tweaking it as the kids grow, the grandkids grow. Like, we know what that looks like because we've bothered to ask the question beyond the aesthetics.
Right. And that was my next point is that you also have to have the foresight. You also have to be able to look into the future and design something that is, I mean, knowing that a family is always changing, it's always growing, and it's adaptable.
Yeah.
So there's a wide scope of what you can and can't do instead of, okay, I've chosen this style from this builder, this designer, and I have to adapt my life to that instead of I have this beautiful design that does everything I needed to do and will continue to do so.
It's very interesting. It's almost like, so I'm going to liken it to this article in House Beautiful, which is like the inns, okay, for 2025 for kitchens and baths, or mostly kitchens, just kitchens actually, not even baths. It's the difference between like learning a bunch of weightlifting moves or like exercises, like you can learn all those mm-hmm. instead of figuring out why you want exercise. You know what I'm saying? There's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Why do you want exercise? Well, I want to be around. I want to be healthier. Well, why do you want to be healthier? Because I want to live longer. Well, why do you want to live longer? Because I want to spend as much time as I can with
the ones in my kitchen that you just designed.
Or with the ones I love. I mean, can we get down to the real deal here, which is tomorrow's promise to no one, and that you don't, you know, life's too short to design, consume garbage. It's just. And I never wanted to live there. And listen, if that makes me an outcast in certain, you know, professional circles, then fine. I'm not doing it for that reason. Never have. I'm not going to start.
Right.
And the Vault being this, you know, along with Revival Studios being this sort of like, you know, piazza for quality and personality is going to allow clients to explore that in a 9,000 square foot showroom studio space. Where I just want you, I want to get to know who you are and what you love and how we can help you design better. Because I believe that ultimately, if you design better, you live better. And so that's why these conversations, like they lead in here with like plaster range hoods is like the number one on the list.
Huh?
Yeah.
Plaster?
That's the new thing. The range hood that's in neutral. The range hood that just disappears. Oh. I'm calling it the need for the calm kitchen. Okay. And there's only three that I'm actually going to cover because what I'm going to do is dissect where I really think your head needs to be on this when we come back from the break. But as we explore the heart, the hand, and the head simultaneously in this discussion of kitchens, baths, and bars, when we come back from the break, we're going to tell you what you need to include beyond this list from House Beautiful. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to segment 4. Of The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano.
That'll never get old.
I know. Kitchens, baths, and bars, heart and hand of the home, substance over style, or maybe equal parts substance and style, right?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So listen, you're not going to get any nuggets of wisdom from this House Beautiful digital article.
I was more hoping to get nuggets of wisdom from you about the article.
I think one of the things that we talk about, and I'm specifically referring to House Beautiful's article that is like the kitchen inns, right? Like the kitchen inns list, according to designers from House Beautiful. And remember, it's always affected, right? Because it's only the designers that they interviewed. So the sample size is small.
Highly opinion.
One of the things that it goes on to talk about is this outdoor integration where you can open up your kitchen to the outside with a bar that's on the outside.
Okay.
Which I think is an interesting concept for some homes, but you know they're sort of selling this as like must haves, you know.
I think in Wisconsin.
How often are you using that?
Yeah.
How many bugs are getting in the house?
I know.
On that?
Insulation. It's, you know, cold.
This
here.
Is clearly somebody like Arizona, California.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, you think about it a lot.
Temperate climates,
south
maybe south.
Are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although the one that I agree with is called the dirty kitchen. Okay. In other words, known as a scullery.
And I want to hear about this.
Scullery is coming back. It's sort of like it used to be called like the butler's pantry, which I thought was hilarious because it's, first of all, who has one of those? A butler.
You know? I don't have a butler, but I'm pretty sure this house had a butler.
No,
pantry.
But I understand. Like it's almost like that's another dead term, I think, is butler's
for
pantry,
sure.
Right? But I think that the dirty kitchen or scullery is an area where you can do food prep. And you use your main kitchen to serve, enjoy, prep larger meals. It's an interesting mindset, right? I mean, if you think about the way that a lot of the homes and the kitchens were done in older homes, a lot of the kitchens were in the basement. They weren't on the main floor.
Right.
Just watch Downton Abbey.
Right.
Kitchen was downstairs. They brought up the food.
True.
Right. You didn't see the mess. I now think that there's some wisdom in understanding maybe what that looks like from a lifestyle perspective, especially with the open floor plans, because the kitchens are integrated into the living space more than ever.
Right.
Now, we could talk about open floor plans on another show and whether or not they're valid still or whether or not they're just a one.
Martha Stewart says they're not.
Once they're just one big pain in the you know what. But I do believe that the dirty kitchen, or at least dirty area, is one of those functional elements where if you want to be able to prep food, hide mess, and still enjoy the entertainment and hospitality exercise without staring at the dirty dishes.
Right.
I think that there's some wisdom to that. Like, I think what we really should be talking about, rather than talking about specific cosmetic cues, like plaster range hoods, that's not really a valid thing. Like,
what is it? I don't.
Well, the plaster range is a range that sort of disappears. I mean, I'll show you the photo. It's you know, the walls are plastered. Oh. And it just sort of disappears.
Eh.
Now, listen, whether it's an integrated range hood into cabinetry that you don't see the range hood, or I like to do range hoods that are spectacularly cool, that are really, really like announce the kitchen's presence with authority, to quote from Bull Durham, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know, it gives it a presence, right? And says, here I am.
I mean,
so whether you're looking
you
for something integrated or something show-stopping, you know, the plaster is just a cosmetic. The plaster range hood is just an exercise of calm. And I will tell you, people are looking for the ability to live in a transmission of gears. I'm going to explain this because this gets to a much more important understanding of kitchens, baths, and bars, especially kitchens and bars. You want the ability at a bar to have the bar feel as comfortable if it's just you and, let's say, my son who comes home from California. We just want to have a drink. I want to make him a cocktail. And he's sitting on the end of the bar and he's just sort of sharing how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
You want the bar to feel as special in that moment as it does when I have all of my brothers over who are constantly shouting out drink orders to me. And it's got to be able to function for both.
Right.
And so the construct needs to take in the moment, and then let the moment drive the materials. Let the moments drive the functionality. Let the moments and the use case drive the design. And we run to style. That really is, that's a huge issue in my industry is running to the fun instead of really doing the homework on the substance of the use case for the space. You know, Julie and I right now are going through this sort of kitchen exploration, and we've hit a couple of roadblocks. We've decided we are doing a scullery because we do want that secondary prep area so that we don't have to go to the garage for the additional ingredients for, let's say, ravioli.
Right.
You know, we just want it to be convenient. And we also don't have as big a robust family for laundry and, you know what I'm saying, like all of the needs of a growing family. So when we were doing the kitchen remodel, it makes sense for us to do the laundry in the same place we're doing our prep kitchen. And to have it be literally maybe only like 10 yards away from our main kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scullery for us makes sense.
Well, and as you're talking about it, my plan was to put in a pantry.
Yes.
With some shelving and countertops and things. And I guess that would be my scullery area if I chose to use some of that space that way.
100%.
I mean, I never would have thought about that. But now that you're talking about it, you know, your KitchenAid mixer, your all of these things that...
I just feel as though getting granular is at odds with people wanting to create the time, space, and grace to actually have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Recently, we went back to having clients come to our studio to do design meetings. We got away from it a little bit just because of the nature of some of the relationships with our clients. And then I looked at the team and I said, no, they can't think. When they're in their home, there's distraction. And one of the greatest things about the new studio that I'm looking forward to is having clients actually have to take the time and schedule the time to really get granular with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a key component, that if you want to try to infuse quality into your space, then you have to create quality time to think about it. Some of the answers come to clients very quickly. Sometimes the clients need time and quiet, and they need to be in the doctor's office, the design doctor's office, to think through the options.
Oh, no. Now you're a doctor.
I'm not. Right? I only play one this Sunday on this microphone. No, I'm just saying. But you need the time. It's like almost like when you need the time to do research, you go to your office. When you need to do research, you go to a library. Like, there is something about quieting the mind these days. And this came from a great friend and an awesome client of ours who invited me one day. He said, listen, just, you know, business is getting busy for you. Just go to my house, because it was a lake house and he wasn't there. And he just invited me to go, just go to my house where you've created these beautiful things and go quiet your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best things that I did. And it's really stuck with me over the past 6 months, like getting into spaces where I can just think.
And focus
and not be on the phone, you know, and really have quality conversations. Quality begets quality, everybody. It just always has, always will. And so when you talk about kitchen and bath design or bar design, if you're not reverse engineering the moments, and I think sometimes when I come on this air, that's a throwaway line that not a lot of people really hear. I really want to drill down on that in this fourth segment, because so much of what's in this list from House Beautiful are things like, you know, dining room furniture with storage, like built-in banquettes. The problem with built-in banquettes is that they're not flexible.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Right.
And they can be somewhat, from a layout perspective, kind of clumsy. You know, really bright cabinets. Well, you better love yellow in this lemon yellow kitchen that's pictured in House Beautiful. And if you do, all the power to you. But we have to think through all of these options and how they all integrate. And I'm telling you, I don't think people are giving themselves the time, space, and grace to do that. What I really liked about the way I think the industry is moving is people are more than ever now into the style kind of smash up, where they like lots of different things and they want to put all their passions together, and they're asking design professionals to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are making it about themselves. And your home should be. Your home should be about what you want to say and what you want to share and how you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you have to have a big budget to have that conversation.
Right.
Right? In fact, one of the conversations we're having right now is the right sizing of rooms at the new build phase, to say, do I need a room that big that gives away that much square footage? In fact, one of the meetings that we had this week was redefining a room. This was fascinating. Redefining a room that was once a dining room. And this is, well, I don't want a formal dining room. I'm going to have a seat that seats 8. I have a massive basement that can accommodate all of my friends and relatives. And that's where that's going to go down, opposite the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the formal dining room wasn't of value to them. So they're going to turn that room into a second living room off the kitchen, where they can entertain and have more lounge space on the first floor. See, that's what it's really all about, is that we do feel in this current construct of the way design has been, and I think as it's going to change, especially post-COVID, that we've been looking at these in, I think, an archaic footprint and terminology. We have design styles that don't really fit. Like, I think if you were to describe your style, Nancy, you'd be like, well, I like mostly traditional, but I also kind of like vintage, right?
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that you want a wood-burning stove. So you want modern convenience as well.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's and that's, I think that's really the balance is, you know, when's modern too modern? Right? When's current look too cold, not special? And having those kinds of conversations and getting someone who understands the right balance through your eyes, not their own. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we've become very good at the design coaches, looking at it through your eyes. Not only the sensitivity to the design and the function, but the sensitivity to the process. I mean, our service is getting so granular, we understand when to advise contractors to not use solvent-based materials because it irritates the homeowner.
Hmm.
That's granular.
That is.
Why? Because we care.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, just want to make sure when you seal the tile, are you using a solvent-based or a non-solvent-based, using water-based? Like, what products are you using? We're asking the kinds of questions that are really, really the client advocate. And if you don't feel like your design professional is an advocate for you, there's your first problem.
Well, yeah.
But more importantly, if you're not going to act as an advocate for yourself in your kitchen and bath and bar designs, if you're not going to share the way you really want to use them and the really and your hopes and your dreams for doing so, you are putting your design professional and your builder and your remodeler at a disadvantage. You know, let's make design personal in 2025. It always has been anyway.
It's supposed to be.
And it's supposed to be. It's your home. Push that to the forefront. Push your pinch points to the forefront. Push the things that bother you to the forefront. I'm going to end the show with this. I have always said to clients in almost every meeting, especially when I'm first learning them, that their no's are as important as their yeses. The things that I've shown them that they do not like are as important as the things that they tell me that they love. The reason I do that is because I want them to feel free to communicate without feeling like I'm judging them and without hurting my feelings. What I love is I'm Italian. I argue for sport. I like that. That's a huge advantage for us because I want to learn you, even if it's through a process that is initially flawed, but eventually gets us where you want to be. Anyway, thank you so much for listening on this Sunday. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.